It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. We'll visit communities who hosted pipeline workers before construction was held up in court. Some people are relieved, others are not.
You know, we made friends. These people would have done anything for us here, and they're gone.
That story's coming up in a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Local and state leaders began on Tuesday to clear roadways in eastern West Virginia, where counties dealt with severe thunderstorms and flash flooding Saturday night. Volunteers and the State National Guard have been a big part of their recovery, as Emily Allen reports.
In Grant County, emergency management staff are handing out flood buckets of cleaning supplies to anyone in need, courtesy of the West Virginia Voluntary Organizations Active in Disasters, or VOAD. On Monday, Governor Jim Justice declared a state of emergency in Preston, Pendleton, Tucker, Randolph, and Grant counties. Most of the damage was washed out culverts and basements. But in Randolph County, officials say flash floods hit local water and sewage plants hard. As of Tuesday, water has been restored and leaks have been fixed. The sewage plant still needs repairs. The National Guard has set up two stations in Randolph County for potable water, one on Job Road and the other in the Randolph County Senior Center in Harmon. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
Mon Health System and WVU Medicine have announced a collaboration to provide round-the-clock teleneurology services at three hospitals. Carol Lofton reports the initiative is designed to provide quicker care to urgent stroke patients.
The services will be available at the three Mon Health hospitals in Morgantown, Kingwood, and Weston. As part of the collaboration, Mon Health physicians will have access to board-certified neurologists from WVU, who will quickly assess and recommend treatment for urgent stroke patients, according to a press release. Stroke patients have the best chance of recovery when diagnosed and treated quickly. Following initial treatment, patients will be evaluated to determine where and what kind of further care they should receive. The idea is to expand services in local communities so stroke patients can be taken to the nearest facility and receive timely care. The collaboration began July 1st. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. Scattered rain and thunderstorms today, highs in the 80s. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. On Independence Day, partly sunny in the north, mostly cloudy in the south. A chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Rain and thunderstorms tomorrow night with lows in the 60s and 70s. On Friday, mostly cloudy, still a chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Yeager Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at yeagerairport.com. The state's growing natural gas industry has expanded beyond drilling rigs during the past few years. Two multi-billion dollar natural gas pipeline projects are under construction in West Virginia. If completed, they will transport billions of cubic feet of natural gas out of the Appalachian Basin to the East Coast. Conservation groups sued several of the pipeline construction companies. In December, a federal court sided with one of the groups and construction of the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline, or ACP, stopped. Brittany Patterson spent some time visiting with host communities who feel they've been left in the lurch by the shutdown. But as she explains, the benefits of the pipelines depends on who you ask.
When Melissa Wilfong first heard that the Atlantic Coast Pipeline was going in the ground just a few miles from the community where she has lived her entire life, she wasn't happy.
At first, my first thought was, oh no, you know, they're going to just tear up everything and be a nuisance.
Hundreds of workers would soon flock to Valley Head, a community of a few hundred people in the shadow of the Allegheny Mountains in Randolph County. But then Wilfong's father suggested the local community center, which the family helps run, should host a welcome dinner. Soon, every Tuesday, hundreds of pipeliners, many from out of state living in campers nearby, began showing up for a home-cooked meal.
This is the community center kitchen. Of course, this is where all the meals were prepared.
Warming dishes are stacked on the counter next to a range and double oven. Wilfong says at times that wasn't even enough space to prepare dinner and dessert.
It gets pretty crowded in here when there's more than two or three people, but we made it work.
Plates were $10, but the pipeline workers often left more. Each dinner brought in $600 to $700, money Wilfong says helped the center, which is largely grant-funded. But it wasn't just about the money. The workers were the first to take up a collection when a community member's home burned down. They bought presents, Christmas dinner, and groceries for two families during the holidays.
You know, we made friends. These people would have done anything for us here, and they're gone.
Construction stopped in December after a federal court ruled that the U.S. Forest Service made a mistake when it gave the Atlantic Coast Pipeline a permit to cross under the Appalachian Trail. Within a few weeks, most of the workers left, and the dinners in Valleyhead stopped too. Valleyhead is not alone. Along the ACP's 600-mile route, there are dozens of communities like it that were taken by surprise when construction suddenly ground to a halt. Pipeline developer Dominion Energy, which has a majority stake in the project, says it will pay millions of dollars in taxes and create 2,000 construction jobs in West Virginia. And that doesn't take into consideration money spent at local businesses in the five counties through which the pipeline is being constructed in the Mountain State. County budgets are taking a hit. So too are some businesses working with the pipelines.
So we've had some trucks that obviously we idled. We're, you know, busy trying to reemploy them.
Greg Hedges is president of J.F. Allen, a construction company that supplies gravel and builds roads and staging lots the pipeline uses. They invested more than $1 million in four new trucks last year. They haven't laid anyone off, but delayed plans to hire new workers.
We were running 6-12s. We've backed off to more of a 4 or 5 day schedule now.
It takes anywhere from 1 to 3 years to build a large natural gas pipeline like the ACP. It's not a permanent job, but it can be a good one. And some see this build out of natural gas infrastructure, including pipelines, as the future for the region. On a recent spring day, about 40 union apprentices are sitting in a classroom at the West Virginia Laborers' 170-acre training center in Mineral Wells, West Virginia. Multiple trainings are held here, including a month-long pipeline safety training class and a rigging training. Inside a classroom, the walls are covered in butcher paper with colorful drawings illustrating things like traffic control and how to safely hoist heavy pipeline into the air. During one lesson, students weigh the merits of using different materials to attach pipe to a crane.
The alloy steel chain I don't have here, that's the metal mix.
Corey Dornan is the training supervisor at the center.
It's real unfair to these folks who have trained and prepared themselves for the job for something to shut down that they're relying on with no expectation of, hey, when can I get back to it?
He says union laborers working on pipeline projects like the ACP have at least 160 hours of training before they ever step foot on a job.
When they shut these jobs down, they don't know if they're shutting this job down for a month, 2 months, 6 months, or a year, or indefinitely. So these folks, not only is their livelihood in jeopardy for a little while as far as this job, but they're almost in limbo of, do I go chase this work out of state, or do I wait another 3 weeks? And 3 weeks could turn into 6 months.
Dornan worked for 4 months on a 42-inch natural gas pipeline in eastern Ohio. He says the high wages on these jobs make them extremely desirable.
It was almost like hitting the lottery when you got that phone call to go work on that job because the money was really good.
He's seen colleagues pay off a car or put a chunk toward the house when they get a pipeline job.
Jobs like these really give people a chance.
These are good jobs, but they come at what cost to the environment? Those are the questions environmental groups opposed to the ACP and other pipeline projects are asking, and they're getting some answers using the legal system.
These are extremely risky projects.
Greg Bupert is a lawyer with the Southern Environmental Law Center, one of the groups that has filed lawsuits against the ACP. He says in addition to the risk to the climate posed by fossil fuel infrastructure.
In Appalachia, an impact that I think is often overlooked is it is very difficult to build these projects on steep mountain slopes. There's a risk of explosion.
The Sierra Club is also involved in fighting the pipeline's construction. Kelly Martin directs the Sierra Club's Beyond Dirty Fuels program. She says she understands the frustration directed at environmental groups that have sued pipeline projects like the ACP. But she says the Sierra Club and others got involved because concerned citizens living along pipeline routes asked. And she rejects pipeline developers' arguments that these projects benefit residents.
They're not at all long-term economic benefits for the communities, and yet there is long-term pollution associated with the construction of the pipelines and with the fracking for the gas that feeds them.
She says they've sued these pipeline projects to ensure state and federal agencies are following the law when they issue permits, so those in Appalachia aren't left holding the bag.
The risk here is that communities are left with the cleanup and with the pollution, but without the economic benefit.
Right now, pipeline construction is boosting state tax revenues from the natural gas industry, says Sean O'Leary, a senior policy analyst at the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy.
But we know these projects are going to start winding down in the next year, and when they do, that revenue is going to vanish.
He says broadly, economists have not seen sweeping economic benefits from the natural gas industry at large, despite its sixfold growth during the past decade.
And what we've seen is that the impact that has been there has been very, very narrow, that the growth is really concentrated in the industry itself.
O'Leary says the same is likely true of these pipeline projects.
Once the pipeline is constructed, once the construction is over, it's a pipe, you know, and there's not a whole lot left behind.
According to pipeline developer Dominion, the ACP will require just a few dozen permanent full-time employees once construction is over. Still, the company is confident some workers will be back on the job by the end of the year. In Valley Head, Melissa Wilfong says she can't wait.
They've just done several things for people in the community, and I think, you know, once they come back, they'll continue to do that.
Recently, Dominion asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case regarding its U.S. Forest Service permit to cross the Appalachian Trail. It's one of seven permits the project needs before it can fully resume construction. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.